Alléluia. 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 Okay, let's go straight into it. Numbers 13, from the first verse. Numbers 13. Okay. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I'm giving the children of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers, you should send a man, every one a leader among them. So Moses sent them from the wilderness of Paran, according to the command of the Lord. All of them, men who were heads of the children of Israel. So here we've got the children out in the wilderness, and they're going to spy out the land. Okay. So a word from the Lord, and Moses has gathered the men, the leaders from all the tribes, to go out to the land. So this goes fast forward to verse 25. So just before I read that, so they were out there, they were spying the land, they were there for 40 days. Now, you know, within 40 days, I think you can get to gather quite a lot of things, what's going on. You can see, you know, from different day by day what's happening. So then they returned from the spying out the land after 40 days. And now they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. And they brought back word to them and all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Then they told him, and he said, we went to the land where you sent us, and it truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Now, its fruit, and when you read the word, it says, you know, the grapes were big size, the grapes themselves were like pomegranates, you know, it was exceedingly rich and fertile. So they were showing them what they had brought back. The next verse. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. Just hold there a sec. So the descendants of Anak, they were giants, big, tall people, you know. But, you know, I'm just looking at those verses there. No, in fact, let me carry on. Carry on. And the Amalekites dwell in the land of south. The Hittites, Jebusites, all the ites, and more ites, yeah. They dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell in by the sea, along the banks of the Jordan. Then Caleb quietened the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we are. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak, that came from the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, so were we in their sight. Amen. Wow. God's given you a word. He's told you, this is the land I'm going to give you. It's flowing with milk and honey. You can see it's a rich and it's a fertile land, and it's good. And Moses sent them out to spy the land. They came back with a good report. But then all of a sudden, the good report became a bad report. You have to think, wow, what was going on here? What did you actually see? You saw this, you saw the fruit, you saw the land, but next thing you saw the people, and then suddenly you were fearful. And that fear, because if you go back to the start of this, it was to the whole congregation. It wasn't just to Moses they spoke. They spoke to everybody. Yeah? So they came back, they gave the good report, but two saw one thing and 10 saw something else, you know. And this is very true, you know. You could show something to somebody, a group of people, and say, tell me back what you saw. And you're going to get back 8 different accounts of the same thing. Yeah. So, my first question is, what is your vision? When you look at your life and around you, what do you see? Do you see opportunity or do you see obstacles? What do you see? Opportunity or obstacles? Here was opportunity, massive opportunity. But people didn't focus on the good things. They saw the giants of Anak, big, strong people. And suddenly, instead of, you know, it being a good report, it suddenly became a fearful one. And then that spread amongst the whole congregation. And as the story goes on, they didn't want to go there no more. They said, no, let's get ourselves a new leader. Let's stone Caleb, let's stone Joshua, the ones who are trying to give the good report. Now, you kind of have to say to yourself, wow, what you see isn't always what it is. It's your perception. Yeah? Is it faith or is it fear? Where do you stand? Yeah? Do you stand by faith or do you stand by fear? The first little thing that comes up, are you fearful or your faith suddenly disappears out the window? That's the first thing. Do we stand in faith or do we stand in fear? Caleb and Joshua saw something different. If we go to Numbers 14, and we go from verse 6. While we're getting that scripture, this is where Caleb and Joshua, they came up and they said, no, this is not how it is. We should go. You know, they was a minority in the majority. You know, one thing I saw out of that is I said to myself, wow, there's two voices were talking different to everybody else. Yet those were the two voices, were the voices where what people should be listening to. You know, in our lives, we see something, but you know what, because we're the minority or we're not the authority or we're not the leader, we think, you know what, maybe I shouldn't say anything. Maybe I should just be quiet because they know better than I do, even though you know what you're saying is actually the thing. You know, and that's one thing that I picked up from that, you know, that we must stand up to what we think is right. If we've got the faith and we think it's the correct thing, because it's Anto or it's Godfrey or it's Prempe or, you know, I could just pick out people, doesn't mean you don't speak. Because your quietness could be the thing that disqualifies you, disqualifies everybody else from getting that thing that they need. You know, something to bear in mind. Okay, let's go. But Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes. And they spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, the land we pass through to spy out is exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Not only do people rebel against the Lord and they fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. If you truly, truly, truly believe in the Lord, then you will not fear. And you will not fear them. No matter what it looks like in the natural, in the spiritual, the work is already done. Amen? We need to understand that. You know, in our natural, we'll see this. But spiritually, if we are really, really standing on God's word and he's told us this is ours, then it's ours by right. Amen? Amen? Amen. Okay. So, I want to show you a picture. If I showed you a picture of a mountain, okay, what does that represent to you in your life and your career? You're going at your career and your life and suddenly a mountain. What does that represent? Anyone? Okay, there we go. What does a mountain represent to you in your life and in your career? An obstacle. Yeah? Something that we have to negotiate, we have to get past, or we can't get past. Maybe we have to find something else to do. Well, today I want to tell you, a mountain is not an obstacle. It's not an obstacle. It's an opportunity. Today, a mountain is not an obstacle. It's an opportunity. It's funny, when you ask that question, that's the first thing someone says, an obstacle. We always see a mountain as an obstacle. Okay. Today, I want to change how you look at mountains and change that perceived negative into a positive and show you the importance of mountains. I want you to turn to your neighbor and tell them, mountains are not obstacles. They're opportunities. Yeah. Turn to your other neighbor, tell them, mountains are not obstacles. They're not obstacles, they're opportunities. Yeah? So, let's have a look how mountains are opportunities. Can you show the next picture, please? Right. How many of you have heard of this, the seven mountains of influence? Yeah? My life changes in the house? Yeah? Yeah? There's a little plug for life changes, yeah? Seven mountains of influence. There's seven mountains there, the mountains of arts and entertainment, business, education, family, government, media, and religion. They're all out there. Somewhere in our lives, we all are part of a mountain. All of us are part of a mountain. The people at the top of each mountain are the gatekeepers, the decision makers, and the influencers. The more righteous people will be positioned at the top of each mountain, the more righteousness will reign in our country. We must take back the dominion. We was given dominion right at the beginning in the book. Okay? And we must take that back, that dominion. At the moment, are we at the top of the mountains? That's the question we have to ask ourselves. Are we the decision makers? Are we the influencers? Are we the gatekeepers? Each of us belongs somewhere here. Yeah, for those who are listening, we've got pictures of mountains on the screen. If we go to Genesis 1:28, we talked about dominion. We was given that dominion right at the beginning. Genesis 1:28. Where God says, I have given you dominion over all the things on the earth. All the creeping things, all the walking things. There we go. Then God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over it. Over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves. There's the blueprint there. It was written right at the beginning. We have dominion. Okay? Now, for us to take that dominion, we need to be the influencers on the mountains. Mountains are not obstacles. Mountains are opportunity. Never again look at a mountain as an obstacle, because it's not an obstacle. We need to climb the mountain. Whichever mountain that we're in, we need to climb. We were always ordained to be the head and not the tail. Is that right?
Yes.
To be the head, you need to be up the top. Yeah, not at the bottom. Or in the middle, you need to be at the top. Now, I believe we go back to the children of Israel, and after they had come back, and Joshua and Caleb had spoken to the people, many years passed by, and Caleb was given a word by Moses that the Lord had given to Joshua to give to him. So we're going to fast forward now 45 years. 45 years. Okay. Let's go to Joshua 16 and 6 to 14. You know this scripture. Can we have it in New King James, please? Joshua was 40 when he was given the word, yet 45 years later. Joshua 14. Yeah. And let's go from, go to verse 6. Okay. Then the children of Judah came to Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, you know the word which the Lord Moses said, which the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh, Barnea. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh, Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought back word to him as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. So Moses swore that day, surely the land where your foot has trodden shall be your inheritance and your children's forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. And now behold, the Lord has kept me alive. He said these 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke the word to Moses, while Israel wandered in the wilderness, and here he says, I am this day 85 years old. Next one. Yet I am as strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me, just as my strength was then. So it is now, my strength for war, for both going out and coming in. Therefore, give me this mountain, which the Lord spoke of me later in that day. You see, Caleb had a revelation way back 40 years ago that, you know what, this mountain is mine, and I'm going to have this mountain. Now, he's a patient man, very patient man, 45 years. How many of us are going to wait 45 years for something to come to pass? And still believe that it's going to happen. You know? Amazing, isn't it? Amazing. But 45 years, he saw the importance of his mountain. And he was going to get it no matter what. Amen? Mountains are not obstacles. Mountains are opportunities. This mountain, what he was talking about here, was the land of Hebron. He was given the whole area of Hebron. Yeah? That was his mountain. What's your mountain? What are you waiting on for on the Lord for today? Turn to your neighbor again and ask them, which one is yours? Yeah, which mountain is yours? Which mountain is yours? Isaiah 2:2-3 says, Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house will be established as the chief of the mountains. Mountains are very important. Very important. And it shall be exalted above the hills, and all the nations shall flow to it. Many people shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we'll walk in his paths. Mountains. They're not an obstacle. So, how do you get to the top of a mountain? If you have to get to the top of a mountain, what do you have to do? Climb. Is climbing easy? No, it's not. You know, to get to the top of the mountain, you have to be prepared to climb. Climb the different levels. You know, we talk about, you know what, I'm going to go to the next level. Climbing your mountain is the next level. To get to the top, you need to go to another level. You never climb a mountain in one go. You go from level to level to level to level. And this is what we have to be prepared to do. We need to be prepared to climb our mountain. We need to be prepared to go to that next level. We need to be able to plan. It takes effort. It takes time. But most of all, it's a different mindset. To get to that top of the mountain, you need a different mindset. Because when you leave this level, you go to the next level, you're talking about a different atmosphere, a different area altogether. It's not the same as the level you just left behind. Every next level of your life demands a new you. When you go from one level to the next one, you're not the same anymore. You've climbed to another level. There's different things that you have to do. A new challenge. You can't remain the same when you go to the next level because there's more demand on you. People want more from you when you go to the next level. Amen? Yes. You cannot remain the same. For us to get to the top of these mountains, we have to be prepared to change. And change is not easy. You know, it's something that we, you know, sometimes people, when they hear the word change, they want to just run and hide. Because change can be tough. It places a demand on you. You know, so God has already planned this, though. He's already made these plans already. You know, we say the words, and we read the words, I knew you, I formed you. Your destiny was already planned before you was even born. These plans are already made. But it's down to us to walk into the plan. It's down to us to walk up the mountain. He's not going to walk up the mountain for us. He's prepared it all for us, but we have to be able to climb. We have to be ready to climb. Jeremiah 29:11, we all know that one, don't we, yeah? For you know the plans I have for you, the plans, yeah? To give you a hope and a future, not calamity. Isaiah 25, verse 1. O Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you and give you thanks for your name, for you have done miraculous things, plans formed long, long ago, fulfilled with perfect faithfulness. Perfect faithfulness. Let me read that again. O Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you. I will give thanks to your name. For you have done miraculous things. Plans formed long, long ago. Fulfilled with perfect faithfulness. Amen. He's already planned it. He has. It's down to us. Where are you on your mountain? Today I want you to think, where am I on my mountain? Which is my mountain and where am I on my mountain? Am I an influencer? Am I a decision maker? You know, it's something for us to ponder today. You know, and as I said, you know, God has planned this. He planned this long, long, long ago. You know, sometimes I think back and I think to myself, wow, I look at the things that have been happening in, you know, in my life recently, over the last, I'd say the last 6 months. As you all know, I gave you a testimony before about work, how I was going through a whole change in work, and basically we had no job at the end of it. It was cutting us down so much, you know, we had to all reapply for our jobs. God intervened, got mapped into, didn't even have to apply for the role, got into the role. Within 1 week of being in that role, I got promoted again. Within 1 week. I walked into that job for 1 week. Within a week, my manager came up to me, said to me, Tony, that's what we call me at work, Tony. This role is here for our professional development manager, ahead of all of our professional development in London Underground, and you are the one we want to take up this role. This is within 1 week of me not having a job, suddenly getting a job, and then suddenly I've been promoted 2 grades higher than what I was. Yeah? But it's God. It's God. You know, I had this plan in my head, and you ask Mary, she'll tell you, I was actually leaving. I was going to take redundancy. I was going to, after 30 years, I was going to take it and go. But God had other plans. You know, when I was going, it's meant to go to submit for me to take the redundancy, I missed it. It was the week before. Yeah. And this is it. It's God. Because if that had happened, I wouldn't be standing here telling you this now. You know, he has plans for us on these mountains. Now, I am a decision maker. People are coming to me for professional development. People are coming to me to ask me, how do we do this? I'm getting calls from all TFL wide now. People coming and asking me, you know, about how to set this up. I've just set up a satellite center from our MVQ center. But this is God. God, you know. He has the plans, but we have to just be in the right place to be able to fulfill it. You know? Amen. Yeah, yes, put your hands together for him. Amen. Set your mind on the things above. Start to aim high. Colossians 3:2. Position yourself on your mountain. I want you today to ask yourself, where am I on my mountain? How do I get to the next level? What is it that I have to do to get to the next level? You know, if you go back to Caleb, it would talk about Caleb. He was faithful in the things of God. That's what made him go to where he got. When you track back and you think about it, only Caleb and Joshua went to the promised land. Out of all the millions of people who left Israel and were complaining and wanting to go back, only Caleb and Joshua, who stood on God's word, ended up in the promised land. Not even Moses. Moses didn't even make it. Moses was told, here you go, you can see it, but you ain't going to walk into it. But Caleb and Joshua were the only two because they stood on the word of God. Amen? I want you to stand to your feet. Today, I just want you to just, in your own words, I just want you to just ask God, where am I? Father, where am I on my mountain? Lord, you've given me my mountain. Lord, where am I on my mountain? If you don't know how to, ask him. How do I get to the next level? How do I start to climb? Let me not just walk in fear. Let me not be fearful for the things I see in front of me, because you have already pre-planned it. Father, I just thank you, Father, for your word today, Lord. Shendere bakara babuf, yakaria mandas. Yakeribo shokoria mama makababa dos sukora mandia mana. Yakara bashandara basadara mandiara basuku bubashinde. Ask him. Ask him. Be bold like Caleb. Don't be a minority. Stand up. Ask him, where is my mountain, Lord? How do I get to the next level, Father, on my mountain, Lord? Let me be an influencer and a decision maker. Let righteousness reign on all the mountains of influence. Let us be the ones who are at the head and not the tail. Father, I thank you for your word today, Lord. Lord, I thank you that today, Father, we're all going to climb our mountains, Lord. That, Lord, today, Father, we are going to be the ones, Lord Father, who make the decisions. As of today, Lord, we are going to be the influencers, Lord. We are going to be the decision makers, Father. Father, I thank you, Father, for what you, Father, are doing amongst your children, Lord. Lord, I thank you, Father, that you, Father, bring your word, Father, to elevate us, Father, to the next level. I give you the praise, the glory, the honor. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen.